From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Open lines later this hour, so get ready for that. And here's what's happening. Millions of Americans watch the State of the Union address tonight, inciting a deficit of trust in government by the American people. President Barack Obama's first State of the Union address urged Congress to erode the influence of special interests and work together to confront the nation's most pressing problems. In the nationally televised speech in a joint session of Congress, the president sought to reassure Americans angry and nervous about the pace of economic recovery that this government understood the challenges that would act boldly to meet them. In a moment, John Curtis, expert on spin and onlinecolumnist.com, will give us his impressions of the State of the Union address and how it affects you. NASA's plans to return astronauts to the moon are dead. So are the rockets being designed to take them there. That is, if President Barack Obama gets his way. When the White House releases its budget proposal on Monday, there will be no money, apparently, for the Constellation program that was supposed to return humans to the moon by 2020. The troubled and expensive Ares 1 rocket that was to replace the space shuttle to ferry humans to space will be gone, along with money for its bigger brother, the Ares 5 cargo rocket that was to launch the fuel and supplies needed to take humans back to the moon. And apparently, there will be no lunar landers, no moon bases, no Constellation program at all. Robert Block writes for the Orlando Sentinel and broke this story. He has worked as a reporter for Reuters. He's a chief correspondent for the Independent of London during the 1990s and spent 11 years at the Wall Street Journal. He quit the Journal and a few years ago returned to his native Florida, joining the Orlando Sentinel, working on the space beat. This has got to be a disappointing story, Robert, for many of us who just love space and want to get back to the moon.
Well, yeah, a lot of people are going to be disappointed, but the administration is now saying that just because Constellation, which was troubled and technically challenged and way over budget, is being canceled, it doesn't mean that they're giving up on human exploration. They say that they are going to be, when the budget's unveiled, they will be giving $6 billion over the next 5 years to commercial companies. To start launching humans on a completely different way, where instead of NASA doing the running the rockets, they will be privately owned and operated under fixed price contracts for NASA. It's never been done before, and they say it's bold and exciting.
So we may not go to the moon through government, but we might get back there through private enterprise?
That's a distinct possibility. I think first they want to basically start launching people to run them as on space taxis, is what they're calling them, that will go from Florida, ostensibly, up to the International Space Station and back. Because in 10 months, the last shuttle flight is due to fly. And after that, we were going to have nothing until Ares 1 came on board. And that originally was supposed to come on, supposed to first launch in 2012. And then because of problems, it kept getting pushed back. And the delay may be as long under Ares 1 could have been 2015 or 2017. So they're saying that the commercial companies, which include, of course, Boeing and Lockheed Martin, would be able to do it quicker. We don't know. It's always very easy in the rocket business to say you can do things on paper. But when it actually comes to doing it, it's rocket science.
And you also say in your article that the White House will direct NASA to concentrate on some earth science projects, such as monitoring climate change, for example.
Yeah, I think the big things that are happening is you're going to see the moon program, which was envisioned by Bush, go away. And you're going to see money directed into earth science, climate monitoring, environmental projects, a new technology and research development. NASA's not really been in technology development for a very long time. So a lot of all those cool things that are attributed to the space program, they really haven't done research programs. And then there's going to be this commercial space support. There are a lot of people who wanted to go to Moon and Mars and who believe that only the government has the ability to basically organize these complex projects. Who are not going to be very happy. A lot of those people are space supporters in Congress. A lot of those people are powerful senators and representatives with NASA centers and jobs in their backyards, and there is going to be a fight over the next few months over how this plays out.
Okay, Robert, thanks. Enjoyed your article. And our science advisor and head of the enterprisemission.com, Richard C. Hoagland. Richard, your reaction, first of all, to Robert Block's article in the Orlando Sentinel and what you briefly saw tonight during the State of the Union address. Are you convinced that this may change the way Robert thinks it might?
Yes, because remember, what Robert's reporting are anonymous sources. Nobody would stand behind a word of what he wrote. So I would like to wait until Monday and Tuesday when NASA is planning a full-court press with the White House at the offices of the Association for the Advancement of Science, which is just up the street from the White House. Charlie Boland, who's the head of NASA, is planning 2 days of a high-profile press tour, including on Tuesday, a major press conference at the National Press Club, where I have spoken. You don't do all that if you're going to be basically turning tail and running. Remember, tonight the president said something very important. The United States is never going to be number two. Following the prescription of the anonymous sources that Robert reported on, we would automatically become number two. China's got men going into space and women. Russia has, the European Space Agency, Japan. You mean we're the only nation that's not going to have a human spaceflight program because we simply don't want to be number one? It's not believable, and what you will see as of Monday and Tuesday is a way that Obama is going to go back to the original intent of Constellation, of going back to the moon and on to Mars, but for about one-tenth the money. The amount of money that the Bush administration under Mike Griffin wasted on Constellation and going in the wrong direction with the wrong technologies was $11 billion. If they had spent the money the way Obama is now going to spend it, we would have the capability to go back to the moon in a couple, 3 years, by 2012. Now it's going to be delayed into the next decade because of mistakes that were made on the watch of the last president. You're going to be pleasantly surprised, and I presume I will be back on to discuss some details.
That's a pretty good guess, Richard.
When this is unveiled on Monday afternoon.
You got it. Richard C. Hoagland. India will launch its first manned space mission in 2016 in a bid to match space pioneers such as Russia and the United States. The government has already approved plans for a human space flight project by the Indian Space Research Organization. And last year, they decided to go ahead with funding $2.8 billion. And NASA has now set a firm early February launch date for the Space Shuttle Endeavour to deliver a brand new room and observation portal to the International Space Station. They are going to blast off on Feb 7, that's Super Bowl Sunday, 4:39 in the morning from NASA's Space Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The pre-dawn liftoff is expected to be NASA's last ever space shuttle launch in the dark. After posting a fourth-quarter loss, Verizon plans to cut 13,000 jobs this year. Now, this loss comes after the company took a charge of $3 billion for cutting a total of 17,000 jobs last year in both its landline and wireless divisions. And the Federal Reserve has decided to hold interest rates at a record low, and they pledged to keep them there for an extended period to nurture the economic recovery and lower high unemployment. Gerald Celente, Trends Research. Gerald, what does this all mean? I mean, Verizon's laying off thousands of people. They're holding the line on interest rates. Do you still see an end to this economic mess?
No, there is no end to it. And President Obama said tonight that as the economy picks up in 2011, they'll begin to hold the line on the budget. The economy is not going to pick up. We're seeing these numbers with Verizon. We saw Sam's Club also announce just the other day they're cutting 11,200 jobs. Home Depot 2 days ago, 1,000 jobs. We heard from the New York Federal Reserve Chairman 2 weeks ago saying that whether or not it's going to be sufficient to bring down the unemployment rate materially in 2010 remains to be seen. So when you're seeing the Federal Reserve keep interest rates near zero. There's no recovery in sight. All you have to do is look at China, what's going on over there in Asia. Those markets are going down because they're concerned that China is raising interest rates to slow down their economy. So just the opposite is going on here.
How do you view 2010, Gerald?
The crash of 2010 is coming. All of the stimulus packages, you cannot keep inflating the economy with more stimulus. Just listen to what President Obama said today. All the jobs that have been created, he claims 2 million, it was 6,280, have been government employee jobs, firefighters, policemen, educators, etc. So as the stimulus winds down, you're seeing it being pulled back in Europe, in China. The crash is coming in 2010.
Gerald's website and all these news guests are on our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. As we reported last night, and it happened today, Apple unveiled their new iPad. It starts at just $499. Now, that's a price tag way below the $1,000 that some analysts were expecting. Now, it does have tiers. It can cost $600, $700, $800, depending on how much memory you want to buy. It's a 9.7-inch touchscreen. It's a half an inch thick, weighs 1.5 pounds, comes with 1,632 or 64 gigabytes. Steve Jobs from Apple says that this is more intimate than a laptop and so much more capable than a smartphone. So if you're going to go out and get it, it'll be coming out pretty soon. Intense treatment to lower blood sugar in patients with diabetes could prove nearly as harmful as allowing a glucose level to remain high, according to a study in the United Kingdom. Now, they looked at 50,000 patients with type 2 diabetes, and they found that the lowest glucose levels linked to a heightened risk of death. So we don't know what is right anymore. And now they say also wearing cushioned running shoes may have changed the way in which many of us run. According to research, using slow motion footage, scientists have discovered that experienced barefoot runners land differently from runners who wear shoes. They conclude it's better to run in your bare feet. And a sad story out of Sandusky, Ohio. Authorities say a woman who had just won the lottery, $8,000, was leaving a bar. She was killed, struck by a car. Sad story there. You know, ABC's Nightline is here, taping a segment for a future air date. Correspondent Brian Rooney, who joined ABC News in January of 1988. Now, Brian covers the western part of the United States as a correspondent based in L.A. He reports for World News with Diane Sawyer, Good Morning America, and other ABC News platforms, including ABC's Nightline. And he's here doing a feature on us. Kind of different behind the scenes, huh, Brian?
It is. What can I tell you? We're here. We're interested in this conversation that goes on in the middle of the night, that all these subjects, and we were talking about this earlier, that you deal with things that we normally don't. Anything from Bigfoot to questions about one world government, things that we are just not part of what we normally cover day to day. And here this conversation is going on all night long.
Couple more nights of listening to us, Brian. We're going to make you a believer out of all of this stuff.
You'll make me a listener.
Let me tell you, Brian is a generalist, hard news reporter. He's been in the newspaper business, so automatically that makes him a hard news reporter. Believe me, and he's from the old school of broadcasting. So, you know, he was pretty tough in his interview with me, and it'll be on an upcoming series probably, when, in a couple of weeks
within
or so?
Within a couple of weeks. It takes a couple of weeks to put these
together. Okay, we'll let you all know. And I hope you realize that the people of the night are different, aren't they?
They're definitely different. People are interesting. There's a lot going on out there, and it is fascinating what people think about, what people believe they've seen. And it's amazing to listen to you talk to them.
You've been all over the place. You covered the tsunami of many years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, the Indian Ocean tsunami.
That must have been unbelievable.
It was. As unbelievable as anything. And it was like Haiti is now.
Yeah.
Just stacks and truckloads of bodies. But the thing that I came away with, I was just so impressed with the power of nature and how huge that wave was. And people drowned in their hospital beds 2 miles inland in Indonesia.
Yet the animals knew, and they ran away.
Yeah,
it's strange. Brian, thanks, and look forward to the program.
Thank you.
Brian Rooney. Up next, John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com, as he critiques Barack Obama's first State of the Union address. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. We'll have open lines for you in just a few moments. But first, Dr. John Curtis, editor of onlinecolumnist.com. He's also a columnist for the Los Angeles Daily Journal. He is considered one of the nation's leading authorities on spin damage control. And here he is, John Curtis. John, quick reaction to President Obama's State of the Union address. He is a great orator.
George, this was a charm offensive of mega proportions. I think that you saw what everybody saw before and why Barack was elected so decisively was this is a gifted once-in-a-lifetime, the history of the United States. I mean, we're talking about one of the great orators of all time and so comfortable with the audience and so self-effacing also and able to kind of laugh at himself and just charming, utterly charming.
How would you compare him to Ronald Reagan or John F. Kennedy as a speaker?
I'd say that he's right at the same level as JFK or Reagan. I think Reagan had a natural quality to him and a paternal sort of side, but I think Barack really, they all three ooze charisma, and the thing about Barack is that you feel that, you know, he's so youthful, he's so fresh, he's so, there's a spontaneity and authenticity to him that I think sends a very loud message to the opposition, you know, that you may disagree with, you know, we've had this battle royale going on around healthcare, and I took a beating on it, and he's bloodied, and basically is saying to the, you know, to the other side of the aisle, look, let's work together. Let's get this job done for the American people. I think it was a very, very effective and disarming speech for the opposition.
It was interesting to note all the applause that the president gets, which is honorable and important, yet tomorrow's another work day, and half of the people in there that applauded will probably go after him for his policies.
Well, the knives will be out, you know, soon in the spin, of course, after the speech in order to discredit him. But the message, the underlying message of this speech, basically, is you are dealing with a formidable politician, a formidable, charismatic leader. And I think what was missing and what has been missing for months in this healthcare battle is that the battle was taken really by Harry Reid in the Senate and Nancy Pelosi in the House. And this is the reassertion of the leadership of Barack Obama in this speech, saying, I'm here, I'm setting the agenda. This is my tone that I'm setting. We're going to try to work together and get this job done.
Well, you will find next hour that our guest, John Hogue, who deciphers Nostradamus' prophecies and is a predictor of his own, he's predicting that Barack Obama will win a second term and will come into his own in that second term. We'll have to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I think you saw tonight was that whoever the Republicans can put up against him in a year or two, no matter what kind of beating the Democrats take in the November 11th, and that remains to be seen whether that's going to be a repeat of 94. They would like to think, yeah, I'm not sure that that's happened. But whoever they face, they're dealing with a very, very formidable, likable, and charismatic politician in Barack Obama, and I think it was on full display tonight.
John, the proof will be in the pudding, of course, and we will have to see if he will do some of the things he has been promising to do. He talks about getting out of Iraq. I want to see if that's going to happen. We could be in a quagmire there. We are in one in Afghanistan. The economy is still a mess. So, you know, we have to see some proof.
Well, and I think what your last guest said, I think, is spot on, and that is the economy is still in shambles. And while it's true that the financial markets have been somewhat restored, I think if you ask an average person what it's like to go out and try to borrow money right now, they'll tell you it's almost impossible. But I do think that on December 2nd, the president made a big mistake, basically, by adding another 30,000 troops. I think a lot of people were hoping on liberals, I think conservatives, moderates, independents, they were all looking for him to assert himself with the Pentagon, and he didn't do it. He went along with this on a time-limited basis. So that hurt him politically, and I think that really – but you must remember that he's still at around 50%. And I think that if there's a bump, a positive bump, and, of course, if the prognostication is – correct about your last guest saying that it's going to be the crash of 2010, that I think that the, you know, that it's going to bode very unfavorably politically for Obama, at least over the next year. I think if the economy remains strong, or not strong, but at least shows a sign of life, if there's some stability with it, if they can keep us out of a double dip on this recession, then I think Barack Obama is going to reap a huge windfall in his approval rating.
Okay, John, thanks. John Curtis's website, onlinecolumnist.com. When we come back, we'll have open lines for you. Here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And here's that wildcard line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, John Hogue joins us with his predictions for 2010 and more of his analysis of Nostradamus. And when we come right back, it's open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, and now the open line portion of the program. Let's pick it up by going to Gary in Saginaw, Michigan. You're up with us. Hey, Gary, go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you?
Okay.
I've been trying to get a hold of you here. Back in March of last year, my mom passed away, and we found the body. You know, it was real sad, a little after midnight and all this, and we decided after they took her body away, we're just going to go home, and then we'll go back tomorrow and take care of things. But about 4 o'clock in the morning, I started thinking, well, I just want to go over there and sit around, you know, go sit at her house. So I go over there, and while I'm there, my phone is in my pocket, and it's closed, and mm-hmm. It started making some clicking sounds. You know, sometimes you sit on your phone, you do that. So I didn't think anything of it. Move ahead now to September of last year. I'm playing around with my phone, and I noticed on there there's a film on the Flicks, it says, and it's a film, and I play it. It's 5 seconds long, doesn't make any sense. But then I noticed it was dated March 13th, 09 at 4:29, which is exactly when I was over there. So I sent the thing to my computer. And just a little bit over 2 seconds into the film, if you play it on the QuickTime and you go frame by frame, is her face, just as plain as can be. And if you keep going, the next frame, a bright white light comes up from the right side. Like, you know, they always say you go to the light.
A little message from mom, perhaps?
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it's just the most amazing thing. I'm sitting here looking at it right now, and I've had 10 or 12 people see it, and every one of them is just... I actually, at first, didn't even tell them what they were going to see, but I scared a few people that knew her, you know, and so...
Were you a believer in the afterlife before this happened, Gary?
Yes, I was, because actually after my dad died, 2 months after he died, I saw him in my, I actually shook his hand.
How did you do that?
I was just up going through the closet, and he had this irritating cough he used to always do, and I heard this cough, and I go, Dad, is that you? And I turned around, and he was standing in front of me. I could see through him, but he was hazy, you know, foggy. And he was pointing up at the sky, pointing straight up and laughing like, you know, he's up there. And I said, can I shake your hand? And I felt his hand, and I shook it, and he faded away.
My. Well, as far as that video is concerned, keep it. Don't lose it. Next up, we'll go to Wichita, Kansas. It's Jim on the wild card line. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, George.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay, life is good.
Hey, I got just a little comment about our president, Commander-in-Chief Barack Obama.
Okay.
I've never trusted the man, and the reason why is this. In his campaigning, you know, he seemed a little too, like your guest was saying, his charisma was way off the charts, and he was just building this groundswell of people that obviously stuck with him because he got overwhelming electoral votes and swept the election, basically. But, you know, ever since he's gotten into office, he's continued to have this, this air of secrecy about him. And he's not stuck by anything he campaigned on. He promised to have all this open door, public, involvement in all of his policies and stuff and things he wanted to push through. And like all the stuff he said he was going to put on C-SPAN, he hasn't put any of it on there. All these meetings and stuff have remained, like on healthcare, have remained behind closed doors. The C-SPAN's director or president has come to the White House, Capitol Hill, and say, "Hey, look, you guys said that we were going to have, public visualization of these meetings and stuff, and none of this has transpired. Why not,
Jim?
And
what could he do? What could he do to change your mind, or is it too late for you?"
George, I've never been behind a man. I don't trust him. I think he's a snake in the grass. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something about the man, and I think he's going to drive this country into the ground. I think he's a socialist. I really do. I think that's his real desire, is to turn this country into a socialistic state, and I think that's the direction he's heading in. That's just my opinion.
Well, the old saying, if it works in Wichita, it works throughout the country, so we'll find out. Thanks for your call. Next up, we'll go to Cedar City, Utah, west of the Rockies. Craig, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Yes, George.
It is. In the flesh. Go ahead.
Yes, I appreciate this very much. My second time talking to you. I was on Halloween Ghost to Ghost.
Super.
Anyways, I just have a little question for you. I was wondering, on the out-of-body experiences, how does a person get into that enough to maybe visit somebody in a distant place that you really have heartfelt feelings for?
Oh, really? You mean like you have a romantic interest someplace?
I do. Somebody I've met online, I haven't met her in person, and she is very special. I just wonder if there's a way to visit her.
So you get on a plane and you go see her with a dozen roses. That's what
there
I would do.
Go. I've already sent the dozen roses, but I haven't been able to find the plane yet.
What country is she in?
She's in the United States.
Oh, she
she's
is?
In Texas. I'm in Utah.
Well, that's a different country, isn't it?
Well, it almost is. I work on water wells, and I don't get a chance to get away very much. When the city's out of water, I have to work on the pumps.
Look, you're in Utah. You got to get away for a weekend. Go down there and go romance her.
All right. Thank you, George.
Okay. Now, if you want to do it with an OBE, an out-of-body experience, you got to practice. You have to meditate. And then you got to hope you end up being in her room at the right time. Next up, we go to Eatonville, Washington. Walter, your turn. Hey, Walter, what's up?
Hello, George.
Hey.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to ask you a question. If you know of a talk show host called Big John Trimble?
I've heard of him. I've never listened to him.
He's a trucker talk show host, but he was with a friend of mine who wrote a book about Cold War close calls through the eyes of PFC Alton McVeigh. It's a friend of mine. He wrote this book. And Trimble has did an interview with him on his show, and my friend wanted me to send you a copy of the book and see if you'd be interested in interviewing him.
Send me the book, and we'll review it. And if it's good, sure.
Okay. Well, anyway, what I was calling about was how can it be that no president or people, period, don't look at the fact that how many people are homeless every night. Like, say in Los Angeles, it's a small city of 60,000 people are homeless every night. Now, also, I'm actually going to start a movement up here of trying to do away with property taxes. And
Good luck. You'll probably have a lot of support, but I'm not sure you're going to be able to get that done.
Right. But what I'm saying is that look at the people who have lost, who own their property but don't really own their property, and then have to lose it because they don't have a job now. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
You just look at the county rolls where they get houses and property back because people can't pay their taxes, their property taxes, and then they sell them off in tax sales. It truly is a mess. Look, I've said a long time ago, let's just do away with the IRS totally and go to some fair use tax or something like that. That would work. We go next to Joan in Anchorage, Alaska, west of the Rockies. Hey, Joan, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
I was just wanted to say about the economy. If we would pull the gold and silver out of the ground, we could back up our money with that.
Where are we going to find all that?
Oh, it's all over the place. It's under the ground.
Show me.
Let's go one weekend and you point out all the gold and we'll start digging.
Well, they got one up here in Pebble Mine they're fighting, but it's because of the water. But you don't have to worry about that. I got an idea how to take care of that.
How do you take care of that?
Well, you have a certain items that you filter the gold and silver out of. And you,
hey, Joan, have you ever gone gold hunting?
Yes.
How much? What's the biggest nugget you've ever found?
Never found any. Because I went into the streams.
You haven't found any? Well, no. How about little sand? What do they call them? When you get it out of the water, what is it?
That's too old.
All right. Thanks, Joan. Well, go find something. You find a gold vein, you'll be rich. Indiana, we go. Greenwood. Hello, first-time caller. Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Norrie, how are you doing
okay.
this evening?
Just call me George, Jeff. That's
George, nice. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
I've got two quick questions for you. Back in August 17th of 2008, you had a gentleman on by the name of Ted Phillips, the Slovakia artifact. Have you heard anything more about that?
No updates. Now you've reminded us. We'll check into that.
Second question is the Afghanistan Giants.
That was with Stephen Quayle.
Mm-hmm.
And he updated that for us about 2.5 months ago. One of the most bizarre stories I've ever heard on this show.
I'll have to look back on your archives.
Tell me what fascinated you about that story.
Well, I was, you had the, I believe it was the Loadmaster on one of the C-130s, I believe, that brought the one that they found out of the mountains that killed the Special Forces group, and they went in after those guys, and they found this guy munching on these fellas, and they had to take him down, and they brought him out. And it's just, you know, it's crazy to hear the story, but, you know, you can't discount what the servicemen are talking about because, you know, these guys generally do not lie about things like this. And
it's a bizarre story, and as you know, biblically, they've talked about giants on this planet before, so there's probably no reason why we might not have giants now. Next up, we go to Fort Wayne, Indiana, east of the Rockies. Hey, David, you're on Coast to Coast.
Hi, George. I don't mean to be doom and gloom, but for someone who's been unemployed for about 14 months, I'm just looking around and taking an educated guess. We are going into a double-dip recession, as some of your guests have forecast.
Well, the sad part and the scary part about it, Dave, is most of these guests on this program who have talked about the economy, who predicted the mess we're in now, are saying similar things, and that is, yes, we're still headed into something even deeper and deeper. Now, you say you're unemployed. How long?
About 14 months.
14 months. What happened to you?
I was working with a company made truck suspensions, and then in 08, when diesel went up to $5 a gallon, the truckers had a choice, put gas in my truck or buy replacement parts, and that pretty much killed our business.
And the price went down, and it's coming back up again for diesel, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So I don't think we're ever going to reach the levels we had in our workforce before, but what the common sense thing that runs through my mind is the bottom line is consumers buying product is what drives our economy, and it's just not going to come back for a while. So until that does, where there's enough people employed to drive our economy back up, we are headed for a double-dip recession.
Now, you've been unemployed for 14 months. What are you doing to survive, David? How's it working for you?
Well, you know, one thing you said, I've listened to your show for many years. There are no coincidences.
That's right.
At the same time, I've been drawing unemployment, but my mother has really became a severe Alzheimer's case. My dad is 79, so I've been helping out with them. So it's kind of been a blessing in disguise.
True.
So maybe it was meant to be. I don't know. But
Well, keep your hopes up. It'll break open for you eventually.
Oh, I know it will. Okay. I appreciate your show. Thank you, George.
All right. Next, we go to Seattle, Washington, west of the Rockies. Good morning, Suzanne.
Yes, George. Around Christmas time, there was a gentleman that called in about the Brazilian wandering spider that was infesting the United States, and it was coming in crates of bananas.
Yes, and I hate spiders.
America.
I hate spiders. I couldn't sleep for days after that guy called.
Weren't you going to call, was it Linda Howell?
Linda Moulton Howell, right. She hasn't done a report on that yet.
She's on tomorrow night, but not with that story.
I've actually witnessed five people that have been bitten and died. And the bad thing about it, two of them were in Seattle and three of them were in Oregon. And the bad thing is within 3 minutes you die. You get bitten and then you feel sick and start throwing up and you can't stop throwing up and then you die within 3 minutes.
3 minutes?
Yes, and it's just really, you can Google it. It's called Brazilian wandering spider, and they're coming in crates of bananas, and they're coming and they're being delivered to, you know, the regular like Safeway and Thriftway, and when they open them up, the spiders are in there, and then they get into the, you know, the food and everything, and it's just horrible. They had a program on one of the cable channels that showed it being one of the 10 most dangerous things in North America. And I'm just really concerned about it because it's affecting the United States and is very dangerous. And I don't understand why they're not putting it on the media and warning people about this.
Suzanne, are these spiders breeding? Are they all over the place?
Yes. Yeah, they're all over.
Oh my God. They've
infested Seattle. They're coming in the containers and they're all downtown Seattle and they're in the trees. They're a tree spider, and they can get up to 4 inches.
Doesn't your winter kill them off at all?
No, they are what they call a true spider, and it's not killing them off. And people are now to the point where they're not playing basketball and outside. They're going inside to do it.
You're kidding me. You mean in Seattle they're, like, slowly getting out of all outside activities because of this Brazilian deadly spider?
Yes, and that's why I'm called, because that gentleman called, and I wanted to call you right after that, but I couldn't get in. But I want to let you know this is very important, that the U.S. people need to know about this.
You're a wealth of information. Okay, we'll push it even harder.
Thank you.
All right, Suzanne, that's got to be one of the creepy ones. I hate spiders. I do. Always did. And clowns. Peter, Queens, New York, east of the Rockies. Hey, Peter, how are you?
How you doing, George?
Hey,
I just was wondering, you had the program every October, Our Lady of Fatima, The Miracle of the Sun, of Father Nicholas Gruner. Whatever happened to that program or that sort of thing?
We took a hiatus for this October, but we'll be back again.
Well, I hope so. We certainly need the prayers of the Blessed Mother. So
we need something.
Yeah. Good luck to you, George.
Okay, Bart in San Francisco. Go ahead, Bart.
George, how are you?
Okay.
Thanks for making my night a better place.
Thanks for listening.
You bet. I was calling because I am not disputing that the economy's in a bad way, and I know you've had a caller on who's unemployed, but I'm a fairly average guy, and I'm self-employed, and I recently bought a home. And the process was remarkably easy in me getting a loan.
Well, let me ask you, pretty good credit score, I take it?
Good credit score.
Yeah, see, for those, Bart, who are working, who have a pretty good credit rating, who've paid their bills on time, and you've got income, you're going to be okay during this situation. If anything, you might be better off. But the problem is too many people are just opposite of you. And that's the difficult part. You'll be okay. You know, thank God you're working and you're doing your thing. But those people who are unemployed, who have gotten behind in their house payments, their credit ratings have plummeted, they're probably in the 500 score range, they're going to have a tough time crawling back out of this mess.
I agree. I think one of the points I wanted to make was people like me, the average guy and woman, don't lose hope. I think, you know, there's a pervasive fear that's coming around from primarily the mainstream media that, you know, has fed upon itself. And I think that fear among the average people who do have some buying power, you know, we need to get past that, because I think we are the group that can help the folks who are in need.
Well, you know what? And that is, I applaud you for saying that, because to help people who are in need, especially now, is so important these days.
Yes, indeed. And I know that that's primarily what you're about, George, and we all thank you for that.
All right, Bart. Thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. Hey, in just a moment, John Hogue joins us. His websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're going to be talking about
some of his predictions for 2010, which will include climate change, the economy, the Antichrist, 2012, some what he calls nasty surprises this year, Iran, the U.S. and China relations, and some other things. Plus, we'll take a little look at the Nostradamus as well. John has predicted, and he'll explain why, Barack Obama will get reelected in 2012. And we'll ask John why he thinks that's going to happen. If you need to email me, that's George at coasttocoastam.com. So don't touch your dial. We'll be right back with our special interview tonight with John Hogue on Coast to Coast AM.